Zephyr presents The Last Library, written by Freya Sampson and read by Natalie Pownall. Chapter 1. You can tell a lot about a person from the library books they borrow. June liked to play a game when things were quiet at work. She'd pick a patron and make up their life story based on the books they read. Today, she'd chosen a middle-aged lady who took out 2 Danielle Steele novels and The Rough Guide to Iceland. After some consideration, June decided that the woman was trapped in a loveless marriage, perhaps with a boorish, aggressive husband. She was planning to run away to Reykjavik, where she'd fall in love with a rugged, bearded local. But just as she thought she'd found true happiness, her husband would track her down and announce, "Well, that was a pile of shit." June was snapped out of her daydream by Mrs. Brownsworth, who was standing in front of the desk waving a book in her face. It was Katsuo Ishiguro's The Remains of the Day. "What a pointless load of rubbish. Masters and servants. Capitalist propaganda, more like. I could write better than this." Mrs. B came into the library several times a week, wearing an ancient Afghan coat and fingerless gloves, even in the height of summer. She chose her books seemingly at random. One day, it would be a manual on plumbing. The next, a Nobel Prize-winning author. But whatever she borrowed, it always had the same outcome. "I'm thinking of handing my library card back in protest."
"I'm sorry, Mrs. Brainsworth. You can have first pick of the new stock if you like."
"Probably all crap," Mrs. B said, and she stormed off towards the sports shelf, leaving a faint smell of wet goat lingering at the desk. June finished loading up the ancient returns trolley and began to navigate it around the room. Chalcot Library occupied what had once been the village school, a drafty red brick building erected in the 1870s. It had been converted into a library 80 years later, but had retained many of its original features, including a slate roof that leaked in heavy rain, floorboards that creaked underfoot, and a family of persistent mice who were eating their way through the boxes of archives stored in the loft. The council had last redecorated the library sometime in the 90s, with strip lighting and institutional green carpets. But June still liked to imagine what it must have been like in its earliest incarnation, when grubby-faced children sat in rows of desks where the shelves now stood, learning to write their letters on dusty slates like a scene from Jane Eyre. As she pushed the trolley towards the front of the room, June saw her boss marching towards her, a copy of Mrs. Dalloway poking out of her handbag. "I need to see you in my office, now." Marjorie Spencer was the library manager, a title she wore pinned to her blouse like a war medal. She claimed to only read highbrow literary novels, but June knew she'd renewed 50 Shades of Grey at least 3 times. June followed her boss into the office. It was actually a stock cupboard come staff room, but Marjorie had put in a desk years ago and had even hung a name plaque on the door. There was no space for any other chairs, so June perched on a stack of printed paper.
"This is strictly entre nous, but I've just had a call from the council," Marjorie said, fiddling with the string of pearls around her neck. "They want me to go in on Monday for an urgent meeting. In the boardroom."
She paused to check that June was suitably impressed with this information.
"You'll have to manage on your own while I'm gone."
"Okay, that's fine."
"It's too short notice to cancel rhyme time, so I'll need you to take it for me too."
June felt her chest tightening.
"Actually, I'm sorry, I forgot, but Alan has a..."
"No buts!
Besides, it'll be good practice for you.
Once I retire at Christmas, my replacement may want you to take over the sessions anyway."
June's stomach dropped at the thought.
"Marjorie, you know I can't..."
"For goodness sake, June, it's children's nursery rhymes, not songs of praise."
June opened her mouth to argue, but Marjorie had turned on her computer in a manner that said, "Do not disturb." June left the office, trying to ignore the tightening in her chest. It was almost 5 o'clock, so she began the closing down routine. As she tidied up the abandoned books and newspapers, she pictured all the expectant faces at rhyme time, the children and parents watching her impatiently, waiting for her to speak. June let out an involuntary shudder and dropped a pile of newspapers on the floor.
"Do you need a hand, my dear?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?